This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
You know, a lot of times, just so the, I'll get a little insight here for the audience. When I put together the bumper music, some people say, hey, who does the bumper music? Well, I do the bumper music. Ethan kind of puts it in there. But every day I sit at home and I get inspired and I put some songs down. And a lot of times I think, you know what, Sue's going to like this one. But when I put Molly Hatchet down today, I was pretty clear that Sue probably wasn't going to like this one. But I like Gator Country anyway. It was a Casey classic. We used to play it here in St. Louis.
You were right.
Yeah. So I get that some of it might not work with you, but I do like it when Sue says, what's that? But I still went with some Southern rock today. I only got a couple of Molly Hatchet tunes in there.
What's this song, Gator something?
Gator Country. They're from Florida. They were down where Tom Petty was from. And remember Molly Hatchet from the 80s?
Sure.
I don't think they've been around since then. Batyanga Sargon is coming up a little bit later in the show. Paul Morrow's going to join us, but here's what Andrew Cuomo is telling people. He's running for mayor of New York City, and he's priding himself on his COVID response.
COVID, my friends, was the greatest threat faced in a generation. It was life and death. It was as serious as it gets, and it was as scary as it gets. And New York, we had it first, and we had it worst, and we were on our own. And no one knew what to do. But what did we do? We came together, we stood tall, we stood strong, and we faced the challenge head on.
Paul Morrow is here, Fox News contributor, retired NYPD inspector, and he's the founder of the opstest.org. I'm very curious, Paul, to get your opinion of what he said there on the COVID front. How are you this afternoon?
I am good. Thank you very much, Mark. Well, look, let's just go right into it. Let's recognize that the decline of New York City, which is undeniable, among its principal architects is the guy you just heard right there, Andrew Cuomo. He is blown with the wind. He will jump on any platform that he thinks will get him two more votes. And he's talking about how we were on our own in this, you know, very tendentious sort of condescending, preachy way. Well, it's funny because I seem to remember Donald Trump sending an entire ship up here to assist New York that he never accessed.
Yeah, they never used it.
Out of what very well may have been a spite. So on our own, I don't think so. He's the one who forced the old people into the nursing homes. And a series of depredations and ball drops during COVID. He's really got nerve. And a lot of that's going to stick to him because it's not that long ago and everybody in New York has a COVID story.
You know, in fairness, one thing that I would say, because I remember, and I did my show from my studio at home for almost a year. And I remember in the mornings and, you know, on variety times, he would do those updates. And let's face it, you guys were getting hit a lot harder than other parts of the country, certainly in the beginning, the early days of COVID. But then as things kind of went on, I think we all thought we were supposed to trust Andrew Cuomo, even when there were more questions raised about how he was addressing the crisis. And we just overall got it backwards. You know, we didn't concentrate on the older people. And we, you know, you couldn't run in Central Park. I remember hearing some audio from people who were upset, Paul, because people weren't masked when they were riding a bike or running in Central Park. That's how insane some of this stuff was.
No, it was even crazier. There were people who would get mad and getting into shouting arguments in traffic because people were not messed up in a closed car in traffic.
I believe it.
I mean, literally. I mean, that's how insane they made us. And he was one of the principal cheerleaders of it. And he's also, look, the series of depredations that we're living with, thanks to that guy, it's just a laundry list of the backwards drag on New York City. He is one of the people who got us legalized weed, so you can't walk down the block without smelling it. Meanwhile, they put in no provisions to enforce against illegal sale of it. It's still illegal for sale in New York State, never mind federally, but they put no provision for enforcement in there. And so as a result, you got well over 1,000 illegal shops selling weed. He shut down all the initiatives here relative to energy, and our energy prices skyrocketed because he shut down the Indian Point nuclear plant, and he also killed the burgeoning fracking industry in upstate New York, which is perennially depressed in terms of its economy. There are no jobs up there. Fracking was going to be one of the great saviors. He shut that down, and all of this was just to pander to progressive groups that he thought would launch him into a serious play for the White House. And then, of course, we know what happened relative to his immediate staff. I mean, I could just go on. And I think, and if you're sitting where I am, of course, his biggest original sin is that he is one of the people who full-throatedly signed on to and, in fact, exacerbated the criminal justice reforms that have just destroyed this city. And he's the guy who issued the executive order making New York State a sanctuary state. So there's just no shortage of the malfeasance, in my opinion, from this guy that we're living with here in New York City. And now he rides in on a platform that's in many cases 180 degrees from the laundry list I just laid out. And we're all supposed to forget it because it's only 2 years ago. Come on.
Common sense might dictate, especially sitting from afar here in the Midwest, that's nuts that Andrew Cuomo thinks that he could be
yes.
mayor of New York. On the other hand, it's New York City, and this is the land of, you know, Congressman Wiener and things like that. So isn't it possible that he could win this?
Okay, I hope you're sitting down. You ready?
Yes.
It's probable.
Oh, that's what I was afraid of. Yeah.
Yeah. Right now, the clown car running for mayor of New York City is just like, you know, subterranean. We've got Eric Adams, who is not under indictment just by the grace of Donald Trump, but likely will be, in my opinion, re-indicted by Alvin Bragg at the state level, and who probably should still be indicted and facing trial. You've got people who are to the left of Karl Marx who are filling out the rest of the Democratic field for the June primary. On the right, you have Curtis Sliwa, who is the, again, perennial Republican candidate.
Right.
And, you know, look, Curtis has chops. He's, you know, he comes across as a very street guy and everything else. Curtis is smart, but it's not a Republican town. That's it. And so he just kind of fills the slot. And then there's an independent named Jim Walden, who's a former federal prosecutor. And I actually think that he is going to make more noise than a lot of people realize because he's a somewhat Bloomberg-esque figure. He's a moderate, and he's going to run as an independent and essentially run from both sides. But in light of that field and some of the other people who have talked about putting a toe in the water, I think that, frankly, Cuomo will likely take the Democratic nomination in June. And then I think by the time we get to November, you're going to have a series of independents, and either the Republican Party endorses Walden or it's going to be Curtis Sliwa again. And unfortunately, I like Curtis's opinions and his positions, but I just don't think he can win.
But you're saying Cuomo beats Adams, right? And other Democrats.
Yes.
And then you'll have a Republican and that will be the runoff. See, we got a weird situation here in St. Louis. Sue still lives in the city of St. Louis. So our election day is actually tomorrow for a primary, but it's a ranked voting type of situation. So you can vote for one or all the candidates. The top two finishers in our mayor's race square off in a few weeks. But Paul, here's something interesting. interesting from the Midwest. We kicked Kim Gardner out of office finally after her dereliction of duties. And the same mayor that we have right now, Tashara Jones, was certainly in Kim Gardner's camp in Cori Bush. This was the cobble here in St. Louis. This one-term mayor that we have that's made everything about race, ignored basic city services and crime, is going to get booted, we think. Now, of course, we got to still count the votes, but there's an excellent chance people think she might not even make it to the second round, which is, I think that says a lot, you know, whether that makes national news, but this has certainly turned around very quickly in our city in 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it does look like, and you and I have spoken about all of this a lot, including the Gardner situation, and that's why it's important to call it out when we see it, man, because you know what? They win when we don't make any noise, and you know, it's always easy for them to throw all kinds of awful terms at us, institutionally racist, and et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you're black, white, green, or red. You want to be safe in your own neighborhood, and that's you right. want the buses and trains to work, and that's it. It doesn't matter. And, you know, look what happened in Oakland. They threw out the DA and the mayor, and that's a hyper-blue city. Look at L.A. You know, you just got now Noah Hochman having taken over for the DA ship, you know, from Gaston, which yeah. I never thought would happen.
Right.
You know, so you've got a number of the San Francisco booted their DA, Chesa Boudin, who was a, you know, far, far left. So, look, at the end of the day, they always go too far because Democrats, they're not moderate anymore. It's become a progressive contest. They're all yeah. trying to get to the left of each other, out virtue signal each other, to the point that now at the national level, they are advocating for a guy from Ukraine who essentially says this war is nowhere near over while he's losing.
All right, so let me segue into that, because what were your thoughts on that? Getting a variety of reactions. I rather enjoyed what happened on Friday, and I'd like to, you know, to see this move forward, and we certainly want peace. But I understand President Trump's position on this, and I think the spectacle was quite interesting.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's ALMASED.com.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Interesting.
It was very interesting. And, you know, I would say one thing that I think you don't get too much about, which is the fact that it was ultra transparent. I know diplomacy is supposed to happen behind closed doors, and then we would have got a very anodyne press release that says something like, we had a frank discussion or something like that. But it was interesting to see the sausage made. And, you know, I think it's very enlightening because now we see what we're dealing with. You have a Ukrainian president who, in my opinion, has been just seduced by the global left, by the Europeans who don't have the means to help him, but love to virtue signal and say we stand with Ukraine. The pittance that the UK was able to come up with as a loan is a drop in the bucket compared to what he needs and what he was asking for from America. Only America and the landscape of people who can come to his assistance here can actually make a difference. And yet he felt so entitled and empowered that he behaved the way he did. Doesn't even show up in a suit, crosses his arms, rolls his eyes. You know, he doesn't seem to understand that it's beyond the point of a negotiation. You need us. Be polite, because you're coming to us. And the bottom line is, in a more prosaic and just sort of schoolyard sense, the only security guarantee he's going to get, the best security guarantee he could get, because he wants NATO, he's not getting that. So what's a de facto NATO? American business on the ground, pulling those minerals out of the ground. Putin has never attacked Ukraine while Donald Trump was in office. Both of his incursions came under Obama and then Biden. Donald Trump's right. Better than diplomacy, signed pieces of paper that people ignore. Get him, get those businesses over there. Get those people working. Create thousands of jobs. There is no way Putin's coming across the border if you have American mineral companies over there with heavy equipment creating jobs in the economy that the Ukrainians desperately need. That's his best shot. And instead, He went into that meeting with the Democrats before he went in to talk to Donald Trump. They seduced him into believing that he had the high ground and had the leverage. And they just learned that he's not dealing at this point with an 80-something-year-old man who doesn't know Europe from Disneyland and was happy to send him aircraft carriers of cash without any accountability, much of which now is missing.
I'm going to run short on time here because I want to find out your thoughts on Gene Hackman's death. But here was the headline from the New York Times yesterday. An immigrant neighborhood where Trump made inroads now fears ICE raids in Corona, once vibrant New York City enclave to generations of Latino immigrants. The threat of mass deportations has made many residents afraid to go outside. And they offer examples here of this place that used to make about $1,600 a morning. Now it's only making $900 because you got workers that aren't there and people are afraid to show up. What is your sense of how, look, you're in the city that probably is maybe most affected by a lot of this. So what's your sense of how that's going right now?
First of all, I don't believe anything that the New York Times says, and
well,
I'm sorry,
yeah,
but I really don't, man. I've been a subject of, reporting and that they do, and I've just seen
that.
Well, it's just not what I said. So, all right, there you go. Secondly, I grew up right next door to Corona, three, 4 blocks from me. Always heavily Hispanic. I used to be Italian, then I went Hispanic, primarily Puerto Rican. If the numbers are down there, I would argue that as opposed to some neighborhood paranoia where people are hiding under their beds, I don't believe a word of that. What's going on there almost certainly is the fact that the economy in New York is contracting because people are leaving in droves. Nobody's opening businesses. We're overtaxed. The streets aren't safe. And there's been no provision for the fact that we took in 250,000 migrants, some of whom, not all, but some of whom are gangbangers and don't have the means to support themselves in an information-based economy, which is growing more and more in that direction, to take in 250,000 people who are essentially unskilled laborers. We don't need, I'm sorry to say it, but we just don't need that many cooks and delivery people and things like that, the jobs that they traditionally go into. That's just a fact. And to bring them in and just say you support them doesn't work. And as a result, New York State by number now, not percentage, by number, has been leading every year over the last, I think it's 2 to 3 years, in people who leave for sunnier climes. And that's no accident. People are leaving this state in droves.
Yeah. All right. On the Gene Hackman thing, we're kind of fascinated by this. We loved him as an actor. He sort of disappeared for a long time. We found out last week that he had died, and then we found out that he was maybe dead for at least 9 days. No carbon monoxide found. What's your best theory here?
Oh, all right. Let me go out on a limb since you're asking me to take a guess. I don't think it's foul play if, under the facts that we have. We don't see any indicia of the house being rifled. There's a little bit of a disparity of whether the door was open or not, but doesn't seem to be any sign of forced entry. If it is something nefarious, it's somebody close to them who could get in and out. I assume the cops are running the financials to see if anybody's accessing their accounts, on their identities, et cetera. I'm sure they're doing a lot of digital work. We heard about the pacemaker stopping, which is when he likely ended his life. You're going to be able to probably see from a lot of digital work when the phones stopped hitting the Wi-Fi, when there was no computer activity. Maybe there were no cameras, but apparently something with the alarm system, I bet they can pull. Things hitting the surrounding cell towers, et cetera. They're going to be able to narrow down the time of death. And then, of course, you got the toxicology and the autopsy. So these are some of the things they're doing, along with the traditional detective work. You're asking me to guess, so I'm going to throw it out there. I am going to say that something happened to her. They apparently had a real marriage, which is so sad. You know, you don't get too many of those in Hollywood, right? But these two seem to really have been devoted to each other. There is this issue of all the pills that were scattered around.
Right.
You know, I've responded to a lot of suicides. That's not uncommon. They go back for more pills. They spill all over the place, or they leave them out in case, you know, the pills don't do the job. They go back for more. I would wonder if there's a bottle of vodka there or something, because very often they accompany it with that. I am not saying that she committed suicide. I'm theorizing. You asked me to do it. But since you're asking me to guess, I would say something either natural or not nefarious, but not natural, happened to her. He was running for help or trying to get help. He's 95. He apparently fell. They found the cane near him. And then that's how it went.
Yeah, I think that's, maybe she has, she dies first, I think, is what we're thinking. Maybe it's a heart attack. He tries to help her. And then, unfortunately, Sue and I are just torn up about the dog being in the kennel because that's a terrible thing
the
as
dog,
well.
Yeah.
So it's an awful situation.
Yeah.
Paul Morrow, always great to have you on. Thank you so much for the time on this Monday, Paul. Have a great week.
Anytime, Paul. Thank
All right,
you, guys.
Take care. Batya Ungar Sargon, coming up from Newsweek next.
Get more at 971talk.com.